Hey, 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 welcome back for another episode of the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is your fearless host, Erica Anderson, and please listen. I have been under the weather for the past couple of weeks. I am just now getting like 90% of my voice back, so bear with me as I share with you something I have come across this weekend that I feel is really important to the process of developing your personal power. I actually came up with this list of 7 mistakes to avoid. And I remember when I first started writing the mistakes, because I was going through an awakening within my own life, and I just had a moment of realizing, like, I need to share this with my audience. But for whatever reason, it ended up on the back burner. And as I was going through and looking at some content over the weekend, I came across this document in one of my folders. And I said, you know what, let me go and do a podcast about this, because this right here, this is gold. So make sure you listen to the end. I have something that I'm going to offer to you guys as a result. But yeah, let's dive into this list. The first thing that I put on this list. So first of all, I named this 7 mistakes to avoid. And the whole point of this was to write down mistakes that I realized I had made when I was in the process of transitioning through, you know, friendships, relationships, going through the divorce, leaving, you know, a ministry that I never thought that I was going to leave. There were just so many different transitions that were taking place in that season. My dad had passed away. So there was a lot that I was dealing with internally, but in taking a step back and putting things into perspective, I realized that there were things that I had done that I could have avoided that would have helped me to make smoother transitions. So the first thing that I wrote on this list was feeling obligated. Mistake number one was feeling obligated to explain myself to other people. As I continue on my journey of personal development and I look back on that particular season of my life, that is one of the things that makes me cringe the most. How much I was seeking out not just the opinions of others, but the opportunity to explain myself to other people. There was always this will to make sure that other people understood where I was coming from, when at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. Because many of the people who I was attempting to explain myself to didn't believe in me. They didn't care about what my reasons were. They didn't care about the justification that I had. They didn't care about the reasons or the things that crossed my mind as it related to me making those transitions that I needed to make. And so one of the things that I learned in that process was the importance of, if you're going to seek to explain yourself or the opinions of other people, that you make sure that it is people who are knowledgeable on the things that you need to overcome. They need to be people who are in position, or not even in position, but people who have the maturity to understand where you're coming from. And even if they can't understand, they have the maturity and they have the maturity and no judgment. They allow you to be where you are, feeling the way you're feeling, and able to express what you're dealing with without judgment. So when you find yourself explaining yourself to people and they give you responses that let you know that they clearly don't get it, that's where you stop yourself and you refrain from further explaining yourself, because you don't owe your explanation to someone who is not willing to hear you. Now, another thing that I thought was an important part of understanding this as being a mistake is dealing with people who have manipulated you into believing that you have to explain yourself. Sometimes we end up in relationships and friendships with people who don't want you to walk in your personal power. A part of you walking in your personal power is understanding when to provide an explanation. And sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes, and I hate to say this because I know that ghosting is a sensitive topic, but sometimes ghosting is necessary, especially in situations where your safety may be at stake. It is okay to ghost somebody who has made it clear that they don't value your safety or that they are not going to protect you. But another thing that I wanted to bring up in talking about this is enmeshment. And you'll see this a lot with adult children and their parents, where the parents don't feel that there is any accountability that's necessary on their part when it comes to the level of influence that they have in their adult children's lives. And I've seen firsthand how this can be detrimental to not just adult children, but the relationships that those adult children have with the people around them. It's difficult to be an adult in this world with a life that is independent of your parents when your parents believe that they should be in all of your business. Your parents don't have to be in all of your business if you're an adult. If you were 18 and over, and I say 18 and over only because 18 is the age of becoming legal. So you go to the big jail when you're 18. But the point that I'm making is that when you are able-bodied and of sound mind, you have a right to make decisions for yourself that are independent of what your parents desire for you. And sometimes it's difficult to break away because sometimes our relationships with our parents bear more weight than any other relationships in our lives. And that's okay, but you have to get to a place where you start to set boundaries so that there is there are clear boundaries where you're not allowing your parents to have influence in areas of your life where you would prefer to have independence. And we'll talk about that in another podcast. But at the end of the day, once you become an adult, you become responsible for yourself. Your parents are no longer going to, I guess, suffer the consequences, so to speak, for the decisions that you make. They may be affected because they're in your life, but at the end of the day, you are responsible for handling your own life. So, tips on how to decipher whether you need to explain yourself. Number one, understand that every decision that you make literally affects your life. So, responsibility and maturity are paramount when it comes to this. You want to consider the possibilities of the consequences of explaining yourself to somebody. So, for example, if explaining yourself to somebody is going to give them an advantage to manipulate you, it's probably best to keep that information to yourself. If explaining yourself, on the flip side, is going to give somebody insight so that they can know how to move or how to deal with you moving forward, that would be an important reason to explain yourself. also understand that this communication of explaining yourself, it has to be relative to that person's connection to the decision that might need to be made or whatever it is that you're explaining yourself about. So, for example, if you are going to leave your job, and I know we live in a time where a lot of people feel differently, but I'm talking to people who believe in preserving their opportunities. When you are leaving a job, it is important to communicate that decision to your boss or to the company. It's always best to do it in writing, and it's always best to give notice. And when I say notice, meaning, you know, it's recommended that you give 2 weeks, but I'll venture to say that 1 week, you know, might be okay depending on the nature of what you do. If, you know, you have a job where there are other people who are dependent upon what you do, I think 2 weeks is best. That way you can give the opportunity for someone else to come in and learn. Make sure you're creating SOPs or, you know, information that you can leave behind that would help, you know, whoever, make the transition into your position much easier. If you don't have that type of relationship with your employer and you don't plan to do it that way, it is still best to give a sufficient amount of notice and to leave as amicably as possible. In that, there are levels to the explanation that you choose to provide. The last time I quit a job was about 3 to 4 years ago. And that particular company, I did not feel that I owed them an explanation. And when I say that, I was actually on maternity leave at the time that I chose to leave that job. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to go back because I felt like they treated employees like a number versus treating them like people. It was all about you being at your desk at a specific time every single day and you getting your work done, and you were not allowed to do anything outside of the permissions that you were granted. It was just very, very, what's the word? Militant in a sense. And although, yes, I've been in the workforce for quite some time now, and I've dealt with some different work environments, but generally production-based, kind of high stress, you know, deadlines and things like that. So I'm no stranger to needing structure and having rules and policies that needed to be followed. But the level on which this particular company was operating was something that I just wasn't willing to deal with. So when I sent that final email, because we had been in contact back and forth, they were wanting to know whether I was going to come back on the day that I had originally set for returning from my maternity leave. And I was in the process of getting through interviews to solidify a new position being started. Ultimately, what happened was in the final email that I sent to them, I let them know that I would not be returning. And so that was with a week left before returning from maternity leave. I believe that it was clear that I was not going to be returning to the company prior to me leaving. And yes, it was possible that I could have let them know prior to having the baby that I wasn't going to return, but I did not actually have a job that I was leaving to go to, so I didn't want to jump the gun. But ultimately, I didn't feel the need to provide any type of extensive explanation, because the situations that led up to my decision not to go back to the company were things that everybody from the head of HR to the director of the team that, or the department that I worked for, everybody was aware of the issues that that were going on. So I don't think it was a surprise to anyone that I didn't come back. However, the job prior to that I left, I did give them more of an explanation. I had been with that particular company for about 9 years, and I had worked my way up through the ranks and was a group manager at the time that I left. So it wasn't just me in a standalone position. I actually had three teams of people like that I managed. And so in providing my letter of resignation to that particular company, I just made a statement that I was leaving to pursue personal endeavors. And that was the truth. I didn't feel the need to stretch the truth or to say anything that wasn't true. I told them exactly what I was going to do. But on a general basis, I always encourage people, when you're leaving a company and you give a letter of resignation, you're not required to give a company details about why you're leaving. I believe leaving to pursue personal endeavors or other endeavors is a really good blanket statement for anything. Even if you choose to get another job and you just don't want to reveal that, leaving to pursue other endeavors is, I believe, a fair statement to make, and also one that may allow you to leave without answering questions. There are always going to be people who ask questions, but it's always up to you on whether you actually provide an answer to those questions or decide to go more into detail. So with that, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. I believe this is going to be the next series, as there are 7 mistakes to avoid on this particular list of content that I created. So make sure you sign up to get the alerts for when I release new podcasts, and that way you'll be able to hear all of the 7 mistakes and be able to incorporate the strategies and the tips that I share into your life as you learn to embrace transitions and do your best to avoid these mistakes. So again, thank you for listening. And if you haven't been to the website, make sure you go and grab your copy of The Courage to Walk Away or The Courage Manual. I am in the process of revamping Affirmations of Courage. I'm very excited about that because I feel like as we elevate in life, we have to elevate the content that we are consuming. And so this particular workbook, I actually wrote it years ago, but through my personal growth, I have seen a need to improve and elevate the information that I put in there. So I will be dropping a volume 2. Make sure you are on the email list so that you will know when it drops. And I will talk to y'all in the next podcast. Take care.